Amen. Aren't you glad that He knows and He's able to meet our needs? Tonight I want you to turn to the Old Testament book of Ruth. The Old Testament book of Ruth. We're going to be looking at a story of love and redemption tonight. Here in the book of Ruth. You know, I find it interesting that my title is going to be What to Do in Troublous Times. And so that song we just sang is very fitting for what to do in troublous times. You know, just as a little introduction to the book of Ruth, this is the eighth book of the Old Testament. And in numerology in the Bible, eight is the number of new beginnings. You know, you think about it, Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, which is actually the eighth day. Noah was the eighth person that was on the ark. Eight people were saved on the ark. You know, Jewish boys were circumcised on the eighth day. You know, there's a lot of interesting things about numerology, but eight is this. Number of new beginnings, and in this chapter we're going to see that at the end of this story, that there's going to be a new beginning for this family that went through some very, very difficult times. This book begins with a funeral and it ends with a wedding. It opens with famine and it closes with fullness. It is a love story. And it is a harvest story. And most important of all, it is connected to the greatest story ever. The story of redemption. The story of Jesus. You know, just for example, if you look in the very end of the book of Ruth. In verse 21, it says, And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And so, we're going to see that if you go into Matthew chapter 1, in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, in chapter 1, in verse 5, I want you to look at this verse with me. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. So here you can see that Ruth had a part in redemption history. And so as we look at this story tonight, I just wanted to keep those thoughts in mind. And we come to verse 1 in Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and his wife, name of his wife, Naomi. Name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. I'm going to just stop right there for a moment, and you can see that the events taking place in this story in the book of Ruth happened during the time of the judges. The book of Judges is a time that tells us in chapter, in fact, if you just look right before that in Judges, the book of Judges, that last verse in the book of Judges, it says, In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which is right in his own sight. And so that was the spiritual condition of the time of the book of Ruth. It was a time of apostasy. It was a time of idolatry, of lawlessness, wars and famines, and God's chastening of His people. You know, what's good to know, because what we're going to see here in Ruth chapter 1 is that God was chastening His people, Israel. But what's good to know is that even in the midst of chastisement, even in the midst of troubling times, God is working to redeem the lost. Because there's a story going on behind all this. You know, we may just read through this and see the trouble that Naomi and her family went through. But we need to not forget the backstory of redemption that's going on. God is working, even in the midst of this trouble, even in the worst of times, God reveals His love, and He still works for His glory and for the good of His people. You know, as you think about it, as we look at the book of Ruth and we look at our day and time, we're living in a day and time in which there is no king in Israel. There's a lot of similarities in the book of Ruth and to our day. You know, the Jews had rejected their king, and so we are living in a time there's no king in Israel right now. But during this time in which we are living, there is a beautiful love story taking place in the world. You know, just as we're going to see in the book of Ruth, that there's a beautiful love story that takes place in the midst of this troubling time, even today, there's a love story going on. Because God is preparing a bride for His Son. Ruth, here in this book, is a picture or a type of the church. And Boaz is a kinsman redeemer. He is a type of Jesus Christ. And we see that Boaz, that he is a man that is Lord of the harvest. He is a master of servants. He is a redeemer. He is a bridegroom. He is a life giver. And so he is a very fitting picture of Jesus Christ. And so when you look at this story of Ruth, we're going to see a lot of typology. We're going to see a lot of pictures of Christ and the church in this story. But we're going to start out tonight just looking at chapter 1, which shows Israel out of the will of God and suffering His chastisement. And God then begins to work in the heart of this Gentile, her name Ruth. And just like today, He is calling out from the Gentiles a people for His name. And so as we look at this story, I want to look at some details here, and then we're going to look at the question, what shall we do in troublous times? What shall we do in troublous times? Well, the first thing I want to share with you tonight is that we are not to trust in the uncertain riches of this world. When we're going through chastisement, when we're going through troublous times, we need to be careful about going to the world in that time and not to the Lord. And that's what we're going to see happening here. There was a famine in the land. If you'll look at it again in verse 1, it says there was a famine in the land. Now, what's interesting about this famine is that God sent this famine to a city of Bethlehem, Judah. And Bethlehem in Hebrew means the house of bread. So here's a city called the house of bread, and there's a famine there. And you'll also notice in verse 2 where it talks about they were Ephrathites. So we're talking about Bethlehem of Ephrathah. And Ephrathah means fruitful. And so here in the house of bread, in the place of fruitfulness, there was a famine. And I want you to just, if you would, could look to Micah the prophet. Micah the prophet in chapter 5 and verse 2. Because there's a very important prophecy in Micah that has to do with Bethlehem Ephratah there in Ruth. In Micah 5 and verse 2, he says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is one who is from old, from everlasting. And so the prophet Micah is telling us it's from Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that Jesus is going to come from. He's going to be born there in that city of Bethlehem. And so this is an interesting picture. We find that here in this house of bread, there's a famine going on. In this land of fruitfulness, there's a famine. And why is there a famine? Well, famine in the Old Testament was a disciplinary testing of God. And if you'll look in Deuteronomy 28, and you will see that if the people did not obey the Lord, then they would be cursed. And so in Deuteronomy 28, he tells us that, look at verse 15. He said, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, in which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And then skip down to verse 23. "And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed." And so the Old Testament tells us that this is a form of God's judgment, a form of God's chastisement. And in this time of famine, what we find here is that this man, Elimelech, he took his wife and his two sons, and it says in verse 2, they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, what's so significant about going to Moab? Well, Moab was a place that was cursed of God. They went against God's will going to this place. And if you go back to Deuteronomy, I'll show you an example. In Deuteronomy 23, in verse 3, he tells us something about the Moabites. Deuteronomy 23, verse 3, it says, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way, when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, and of Mesopotamia, to curse thee." And so the Bible tells us here that Moab is a cursed people. It's a cursed nation, cursed by God. And here in this time of famine, Elimelech took his family and he left the will of God. He left the place of bread. He left the land of Israel. He went to Moab to find bread. He went to Moab against God's will. He went to the world, in other words. That'd be a practical way of saying it. He, in a time of need, instead of going to the Lord, he went to the world. He went to the world to get his need met. And Abraham made the same mistake in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 10, where it says there's a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So Abraham made the same mistake, leaving and going to a place against God's will. And I just want to say that when troubling times come, when discipline comes from the Lord, be careful. Let's not trust in the uncertain riches of this world. Let's not look to the world in time of trouble. You know, we may be doing well today, but our circumstances could change very quickly today or tomorrow. We could be in want. And you know, these examples in the Bible, when troublous times come, show us that we should put our trust in the Lord, not to look other places. You know, in Sunday school, I was taught in Cornerstone, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We have to put our trust in Him. He's our shepherd. He's our protector. He's our provider. And if He is our shepherd, we can honestly say, "I shall not want. I shall not want." You know, we can never improve our circumstances by turning our backs on God. That's what Elimelech was doing. He was turning his back on God. He was going to a place against God's will. He was taking his family, Listen, fathers, you do affect your families and your children by your choices. Amalek affected his children with this choice. He did not help his family by turning his back on God. In this moment of trouble, he left the place of God's will, and he should have trusted in the God of Israel. He should have just been patient and let God's will be carried out in his life. But instead, he left this place for a wicked place. You know, a second point tonight, in troublous times, we must not become impatient and leave the will of God. We must not become impatient and leave the will of God. We have to patiently yield to God's chastisements in our life. You know, God only chastens us in His wisdom and in His love. It is for our good. We should bear the rod with contentment and submission. But this famine, it made their home uncomfortable, and so they fled their home. They fled their father's home. They went to a land that was cursed of the Lord. You know, Moab, as we read there in Deuteronomy 23, where did they come from? They came from Lot and his illicit relationship with his daughter. They were children of Lot and his daughter. Well, these Moabites, when Israel came out of Egypt, they would not allow Israel to pass through the land. They didn't meet them with bread and water. And so God cursed them because they had hired Balaam to curse Israel. And these Moabites, they had a god named Chemosh. Chemosh. And he is called the abomination of Moab in 1 Kings 11, verse 7. So they worshipped idols. These were idolaters. And so here, this father, Amalek, he took his family away from a place of God's will and went out to a place of idolatry, a place where the people were cursed of God. He was impatient with God's will. You know, how much better it would have been for his family if they would have just stayed and waited patiently. Because you know what? When you read this story, at the end of the story in chapter 4, when Naomi went back to the land, you know, the people there, her family were still there. They were still alive. They made it through the famine. God took care of them, even in the midst of the famine. You know, we can never, ever be happy running away from God's will. You can't ever be happy. You run from God's will, you will not be happy. You will be the most miserable person. And this story reveals that because when she went out, I want you to look in verse 21, because I don't know if we're going to have time to read through the whole chapter, but notice what she said when she came back. She said, I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me and the Almighty had afflicted me? So she went out full. The Bible tells us that. Even though they were in famine, she had what she needed. She went out full, but she said, I came back empty. So when you leave the will of God, listen, it's going to leave you empty. You can't ever get ahead by getting out of the will of God. You know, if you wander away from God, wander away from His Word, wander away from His church, listen, you're going to be empty. You're going to be empty, just like Naomi was. You're going to go through even more serious trouble and discipline from God. I want you to look at what happened as a result of their wandering from God. It tells us in verse 3, and Amalek, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And so her husband died in this land that was cursed. And let's read on. It says, verse 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Now, I want you to notice something very interesting, that In verse 1, it says that they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Sojourn means that they were just temporary. They were just going to go there for a short time. They weren't planning on moving there and just planting themselves there. They were just going there temporarily. Listen, sin will always keep you longer than you want to stay. You get out of the will of God, it's hard to get back in. They just planned to go for just a little while, just to get out just a little while, just to sojourn for a while. But look what it says. It said they dwelled there, what, 10 years. 10 years. So her husband died, and now her two sons married strange wives, Moabites. And you read in Deuteronomy 23 how the Moabites, they could not even come into the congregation. They couldn't come into the temple. They could not participate in the worship of God. God had cursed them. But yet they intermarried with these strange, idolatrous people. They found strange wives. Well, then it tells us, verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and of her husband. So they died. You see, it just seemed to go downhill from there, didn't it? I mean, you know, they were in a famine, that's bad, but God was doing that for their good. He was chastening them, teaching them something, but they left God's will. They went to a place that God had cursed, and look what happens. It just seems to go down further. I mean, her husband dies, and now her two sons get married to these Moabites, and then they die, and she's left childless. They have no children. She has no grandchildren to raise up. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, the way of a transgressor is hard. It is hard. You live going against God's will, it's going to be hard for you. It's going to be a hard life. You know, beware of the deception of the world. You know, going to the world for just a short season, you may not be there a short season, as they were there for 10 years and it had an impact upon their lives. No matter how difficult the situation, just surrender to the Lord. Just submit patiently to God's will. Go through the trial. God will see us through. God will see us through. Number 3, when we wander from God, we must return to Him, the only refuge in trouble. You know, there'll be times that we will wander. We'll be just like Elimelech and Naomi. We'll wander from God. We'll get in a difficult situation. We'll get out of the will of God. But when we do, we must return to the Lord. He's our refuge. You know, Naomi decides in verse 6 to return to the land of blessing. Let's read it. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. You know, I want to just stop there for a moment. Naomi, she heard about God begin to bless the land of Judah again. And so she wants to go back to that place of blessing. And that was a good decision. I mean, go back to where you left. When you fall away from God, go back to where you left. That's how you get right with God. Just go back to where you left. And that's where she was wanting to go back. And so she arose and she went forth out of that place. And you know, think of that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. She had to come out of there before she could get into a place of blessing. She had to come out. Listen, we can't stay in the world and out of the will of God and be blessed. It's not going to happen. We've got to go back. Come out from among them. And when she leaves, her two daughter-in-laws are following her. And you know what? She is, I believe Naomi is a picture of a carnal Christian. She's a carnal Christian. She gives them some pretty bad advice. She tells them, just go back home. In other words, go back to your gods. She thinks that they're going to find rest in Moab because she says, you know, the Lord grant you that you may find rest. Well, they're not going to find rest in that place that's been cursed by God. But they express a desire to go with her, and she assures them that she is barren, and she does not have a husband. She does not have any more sons for them to marry. You know, look at verse number 13. She said, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. You know, the hand of the Lord gone out against her. Huh? Why was that? Well, because she disobeyed the Lord. They went from the place of God's will, and the hand of the Lord was against her. Well, we find that Orpah, she kissed her mother-in-law, verse 14, but Ruth clave unto her. Naomi told her in verse 15, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. You see there, she returned to her gods. You know, that's a carnal Christian. Just go back to your world. Go back to that place, to your gods and your idols. We shouldn't listen to carnal Christians' advice. They're not going to give us good counsel. But Ruth, in verse 16, here are some very, very beautiful words of commitment and her decision to trust in the God of Israel. She said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. You know, this is a good decision on Ruth's part. You know, had she not made this choice to trust in the God of Israel, she never would have been part of the redemption story. You know, it's amazing to me when I read this story, because here's a woman coming from Moab, a nation cursed by God, but yet God shows grace and mercy and saves her and makes her part of the redemption story. Part of the genealogy of Christ. It just magnifies God's mercy. It magnifies God's grace. I mean, it's just truly amazing. You know, no matter how far we get from God, this story ought to encourage us. It really ought to encourage us. We can come back to the Lord. He is a gracious God. He is a forgiving God. And so she states here her allegiance to the true God of Israel. You know, if you'll look ahead in chapter 2, verse 12, it says, Boaz, speaking of Ruth, he said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know, she has come to trust the Lord God of Israel. Her heart was fixed. Her heart was fixed. She told Naomi, where you go, I'm going. Your people's going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. Where you're buried, that's where I'm going to be buried. You talk about a statement of loyalty and commitment to follow. And you know, when they were heading back to Judah, little did she know she was really headed for a city whose builder and maker is God, because she is part of the family of faith. You read in Hebrews 12, and you read about these people of faith that were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. You know, God is going to use this woman. I'm gonna spend the next couple, well, next Sunday night I won't be here, but the next time we meet together, I'll be looking at chapter 2 and then chapter 3. But we're going to see that God uses Ruth to change her mother-in-law, her bitterness to blessing, her sorrow to joy. Let's read verse 19. So they went, the two went until they came to Bethlehem. They came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them and said, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Lord had dealt very bitterly with me." You know, Mara means bitter. She had a very bitter spirit against the Lord. And she says, "I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Seeing the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." You know, Naomi means pleasantness. But now she says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, bitterness." She had become very bitter. You know, sin will do that. We get out of God's will, we get backslidden, we get out into the world. Guess what? It will lead to bitterness. People, a lot of Christians get bitter against God. It's not because God is evil. It's not because God is bad or God has not been good to them. That's the consequences of sin and wrong choices. People that make the wrong choice and leave the place of God's will, there's going to be bitterness. There's going to be difficulty. But in the midst of all this, God is going to use a Gentile woman to turn Naomi's bitterness to blessing, to rejoicing. I want you to just look ahead with me to chapter 4. Look in chapter 4, verse 14. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which had not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, had borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse to it. And the women and her neighbors gave it a name and said, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed, "for he is the father of Jesse, the father of David." Isn't that amazing how God worked in spite of her disobedience, in spite of her husband's wrong choice? God showed mercy, God showed grace, and in the end of the story, God blesses her. But listen, she would not have had this blessing. Let's stop and remember. I want to close with this thought. She would not have had this blessing had she not went back to the place of blessing. Had she not went back to the place of God's will. She had to go out from Moab. Listen, if you want to be blessed, you have to come out from among them. You have to come out of the world. You have to come back to the Lord, to the place of His will. And God is gracious and God is forgiving. You see in this story that God can fix a lot of things. God can turn a lot of things around. God can bless you and use you for the redemption of mankind. I mean, if you just stop and meditate on this story for a while, it's just an awesome story. I mean, starts out famine, a family leaving the will of God, leaving the place where God wants them to be, going to a cursed place, and father dies, the two sons die, and she's left bitter, she's left empty, she has nothing. But then she goes back to the house of bread, to Bethlehem. And you know, that's the place where the Messiah would be born. It's almost like a type of going back to Christ. She went back to him. And you know, God blessed her, gave her a daughter-in-law that loved her, that bore a child for her. And she became a grandmother of Jesus Christ. Amazing story. She had a part in redemption history. I want to say this, that no person is so far outside of God's grace that he or she cannot be saved. Ruth had everything against her, but the Lord saved her. The Lord saved this Moabite girl. You know, we have learned tonight that Christians, we're going to suffer troublous times as a result of God's chastisement. Let me ask you, are you trusting in the ever-living God through those times? You know, it's so tempting when you're going through chastisement to turn from God. You know, think of a child getting a spanking. Sometimes it makes them angry with their parents. Maybe it makes them shut themselves up in their room and they're mad. They're like, wow. You know, and they're... You know, and sometimes we're the same way. God will... chasing us, and we just get mad and run away. Listen, let's be careful about that. You know, the Bible tells us we need to submit to this chastening of the Lord, even though it's grievous at times. It's for our good, because God loves us. You know, if you lose all your family like Naomi did, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go for comfort? Where are you going to go for rest? You know, you have to go to the Lord. He's our shepherd. Maybe tonight you're here and you've never come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. If you were to die, where would you go? You know, that's an important question we asked this morning. Who is Jesus? That's a question you have to answer tonight. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. So what do we do in troublous times? We go to the rock, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for such a beautiful love story, a beautiful story of redemption and of your grace and your mercy. And Father, I'm so thankful that even in the midst of some very troublous and difficult times, Lord, you're working. You're working for the redemption of lost souls. Lord, you're working behind the scenes. Lord, there are times that we go through as Christians, some times of your chastisement for our rebellion, for our disobedience. Lord, help us that we would submit to that, that we would yield to that we would not leave the place of your will. We'd patiently endure. Lord, I'm thankful that when we wander from you, that we can find grace and mercy when we come back. Lord, we can be restored. We can see blessings returned. Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that you're a gracious and merciful God. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would use your word to accomplish what you want to accomplish in our hearts tonight. Father, we turn this invitation over to you now. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen.